Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you had a great week. No snow. Good beginning. Spring may be here, hopefully. Well, I hope you all had a good week. I just had a little bit of a scare here a little while ago. I thought I'd left my notes at home. You talk about sweating. Whew. I haven't stopped yet. I was so scared. Well, you know what time of year it is. It's a time of year that we rededicate ourselves to God, our Father. And that comes at Passover. And because of Passover, we have an opportunity to repent, change, and grow, and prepare ourselves to be in God's kingdom forever. You and I are the first fruits of God's calling. He has called you and I to understand and to grow in His truth. And how blessed we are, because God so loved you and me that His Son gave His life, that even though we sin once a year, we can come before God our Father and ask Jesus Christ through the symbols to forgive us of our sins. As we take the bread, we take the wine of Christ's crushed body and of His blood that He gave for each and every one of us. We are first fruits. Sometimes we don't understand what that means. We read it. We just go by it. So, yeah, I got an opportunity to be in God's kingdom first. Well, that's true. Each and every one of us do. That's why He called us. But as first fruits, we have a job to do. And it's a job that's a lifetime of learning and growing. And we're never done till Christ returns. And we meet Him as He comes down. But before I get into that, I'd like to read to you a little bit of a Bible study that was given in the Feast of Tabernacles in Gatlinburg last year. And it was given by Andy McLean from Indianapolis, over where our friend and brother Bart is now ministering. And he gave an excellent Bible study. And I asked him if I could use his sermon or his Bible study notes. And I'm going to give a little bit of it to you today. And probably later on I'll be giving you more of it at different times, because it was an excellent Bible study. And it was excellent for the time of year that we were in. And it's directed towards the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, today I'm going to use part of it to be directed towards Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Just over 150 years ago, Tennessee was involved in the American Civil War. Tennessee was the last state to secede from the Union to join the Confederacy. The rivers of Tennessee were key arteries of transportation to what was considered the Deep South. Tennessee contained much of the Confederate manufacturing capacity and food supply. Tennessee was a vital state for the Union to take and for the Confederates to hold. Lincoln himself described it as the keystone of the Southern Arch. Tennessee was divided during the Civil War. The western half was Confederate. The eastern half was mostly Union. Only the state of Virginia experienced more battles during the Civil War than Tennessee. And a lot of them happened right where we kept the feast last year, right in that area. The Civil War is expected to be short. They thought it was going to be over with quickly. Both sides thought this. But sure enough, after they had the a battle and they were defeated at Union Run Bull in July of 1861, both sides realized that it would be a lengthy engagement. In other words, this isn't going to be a quick thing now. We're in this for the duration. Guess who else is in it for a duration? A different battle with Satan the devil, you and I, to be in God's kingdom. The North started losing ground They were losing ground. They were losing battles, and they couldn't get things done. To remedy the logistical problems of moving and defending the army, an independent unit of men would need to be created. On November 3rd, 1862, General William Rosecrans issued an order number 3, which stated, "There will be a detailed immediately from each company of every regiment of infantry in the army, 2 men who shall be organized as a pioneer for engineer corps attached to its regiment. The 20 men will be selected with great care, half laborers and half mechanics. The most intelligent and energetic lieutenant in the regiment was the best knowledge of civil engineering will be tailored to command and assisted by 2 non-commissioned officers. When orders are given for such a movement, they must be promptly obeyed. The wagons attached to the corps will carry all the tools and the men's camp equipment. The men will carry their guns, arms, ammunition, and clothing. Armed with axes, cross saws, cuts, block and tackles, ropes, hammers, saws, other tools of construction, they were among the most unique specialized soldiers ever at that time. By mid-December 1882, within 6 weeks, they had completed their training and were fully equipped and assembled near Murfreesboro, Tennessee, for the pursuit of the Army of Tennessee. You and I are also equipped with God's Word, and we must use it. The name of this group, by the way, was called the Pioneer Brigade. They were the Pioneer Brigade. And we're God's Pioneer Brigade as the first fruits of being called. We are setting the road, setting the way, showing that it can be done to obey God, do God's will, and be in His kingdom. But you know we have to have Passover so we can do it. Because we're all sinners. And we have to be forgiven. Some we know, some we don't know. But we do have to keep in mind who we are and what our job is and what we're to do. We are preparing the way for mankind to get to God and Jesus Christ. What a calling you and I have. Sometimes we don't understand it. We sometimes take it for granted because many of us have been here for 20, 30, 40 years. But you know we can't quit. We have to keep on going. As that battery goes, just keeps on going and going and going. No matter how old we get, whatever we do, we have to keep on going. We still have the power of God's Holy Spirit in each and every one of us that we can get the job done that He has called you and me to do. God's Holy Day Plan, which we again are rehearsing based on the 2 annual agricultural harvests in the land of Palestine, Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, are the beginning. And when we come to Passover, we have a couple things to look at. First of all, we should be able to look at ourselves and see what improvement you and I have made. The things that we have overcome that we've really worked on. You know, because we all see things from one year to the other we have to work on. And then sometimes the next year we find something else that we need to work on. Usually more than one or two things. But you're only good at taking one thing out at a time. You can't work on 25 things because you'll do just a little bit in each one of them and we're never going to win. We need to take the one, really work on it. Once we get that pretty well taken care of, then we can start on another one. But we have to look at ourselves. We need to look at how we've improved in some ways. We may not hate anymore like we used to, or get upset or get mad. We may not, you know, whatever it may be, the sin may be that we have. But we all have them. That's why we have the second Passover. God knew that. That's why he instituted it. Because he knew we were weak. He knew the world we was going to live in was Satan being in control. At Passover, we're renewing our contract with God that we made when what? When we were baptized. God erased all of our sins. We come up out of the water and we're going, oh man, what a load lifting off of me. How great it feels. Well, it should be that way each year at Passover also. I used to always kid years ago that when Passover was here, I'd have this, say this book like this and say, there's the sins, they're gone. Whew. What a relief. What a relief. Think about it. They're gone. God has forgotten them. Realize this. God has forgotten them. He has forgiven them. If we take the Passover rightly. They're no more there. The only trouble is we start having another book started sometime during the year. And we have more the next year. And God knew that. That shows what a loving God he is. He's a God who loves you and I so much that he gave his son to die a horrible death that we could be with him and his family for eternity in the holy city of Jerusalem. What a blessing you and I have that God has chosen you and me to understand and be a part of his plan. But we have to fulfill our part. And we have to do that daily. Can't be once in a while. Has to be daily. Just as these brigade was trained to go out and prepare the way for the army so they could get through, they had to do all kinds of things. They weren't only engineers. You also heard, remember, they were packing guns and stuff like that. Sometimes they had to quit engineering and fight the enemy right on the spot because it was right before them. Sometimes we have to stop too sometimes, and we really got to put up a fight because Satan is trying to destroy each of us. And we're having a heads-on battle with him because he wants to destroy us. He doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be in this wonderful kingdom that only those who obey will be there. And he's called us to be the first fruits, the ones leading the way. And to be in this kingdom with him forever. Do you realize we're going to be in the holy city? The first fruits will be in the holy city. That will be your base. That will be my base. So when you think of the similarities that we have with the brigade, being God's brigade, we have a lot of responsibility. And yet our reward is great. Our reward is great because of being a first fruit. Now I'm going to give you a few scriptures here. Turn with me to Matthew 20:16 to begin with, showing that we have been chosen. And how do we've been chosen? How do I know we've been chosen? Because we're here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. See, we know this is God's Sabbath. We know this is the time to come before our God because he has commanded us to be here to receive his teaching and his knowledge. Okay, Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many shall be called, but few are chosen. We are a part of that few. We can smile from head to toe, realizing that we have something. We know something. Only because the living God has chosen you and me to understand. The world does not understand. You know that daily when you see people in the world and they talk, they have no idea. They can read the Bible. They do not understand it. You read the Bible what? God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. And you learn and you grow. Each of us. That's why we're to study, to show ourselves approved. Because if we study, we have God's word in our heart and our mind. That's how you keep it there. If we don't study, if we don't apply, we will lose it. The old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it, is very true. Because if you have a skill and you don't hone it and make it better, you will finally lose that skill. I have finally lost a skill playing basketball. In fact, I've lost a skill of running. But there is a time for everything. But it doesn't mean you haven't developed a new skill that is applicable and useful in God's word and way of life. Because what we did when we were young, we can't do when we get older. The energy level isn't there as a physical human being. But God works with our mind and our heart. And do you realize that some young people don't understand this yet, but us older people, which is probably about a third to half the people in here. Sorry, didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But you know, your mind doesn't think you're old. My father-in-law once told me years ago, and I was still young and vivacious, and I said, hey, Ed, let's go do such and such. Ed said, oh, Dave, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go do that. Well, my father-in-law was about 55 years old at the time. We take about five or six steps, and they said, whoa, whoa, Dave, we got to stop. I said, whoa, what's the matter? He said, my body just told me if I do that, I'm going to die. I've never forgotten that. And as I got older, guess what? He's right. The last time I played basketball game, I was older. I was probably 45 years old. And I'll never forget, some guys missed and somebody got hurt. And I usually played maybe a quarter a game somewhere, maybe a little bit more than that, but not much. You know, an old man plays in, I can do a few minutes. I had to play two games. When I got done, I was proud as a peacock. You talk about vanity? Whoa, man, hey, I did pretty good. Pass, old man. I'm going to tell you what. The next day, I couldn't even be out of bed. I could not get out of bed. My wife had to pull me so I could even set up. And I went to the coach and I said, I'm playing no more basketball. He said, oh, no. I said, no more. The body has told me, mm-mm. So that was in my basketball career. But it just shows how your mind doesn't think you're old. And from going to vanity one day, I was totally humbled the next day. I want to tell you what. Totally gone. I got sidetracked, sorry. But you and I are truly blessed. And sometimes we don't realize it. But we're blessed to be here every week. And God's Sabbath. We're blessed to know each other. Because we probably would never have chosen each other as friends or brothers and sisters if it hadn't been for what? God calling us. And said, this is your brother. This is your sister. Get to know them. Love them. Care for them. Be with them. And enjoy my life. And that's what God has done for you and me. I would never have kept days away on vacations if it hadn't been for God's truth. Would you? Would you have taken 10 days and gone away every year to different sites, different parts of the country, different parts of the world, got to see things you'd never seen in your life? I wouldn't have. Had been for God's word, and I was commanded to. I said, man, I can't afford to spend that money. I need to fix my home up, or I need to do this, or I need to do this. But guess what? Do you think about that now? No, you say, hey, I'm going to feast. Right? Can't wait. Starting about this time of year, guess what? We say, where are you going to keep the feast? Where are you going? Why are you going there? You know, we get excited. God has given that to you and me. What a blessing. What a blessing. I know I've sort of been blessed by it. I just wish I'd always been, as you would say, a good servant. And we all fail. And we can all do better. But the one thing we have to realize, we have to be doers all our life. It isn't doer to get in here for ourselves. It's being a doer for life. This is a life calling. It isn't a 2-year calling, a 3-year calling, a 10-year calling, a 20-year calling. It's till we die or resurrected by Jesus Christ when he returns. We're being trained to be kings and priests. So it's a never-ending job. And if we start thinking we can stop and sit back and relax, we are wrong. It's like paddling up the stream. As long as you paddle, you can go up the stream. If you quit paddling, where do you go? You go backwards. And you're losing the ground that you have gained. We have to keep gaining on the ground and growing closer to God, that his word will be in our hearts and our minds. That is our only way we'll be in God's kingdom. We can't take breaks. We may have to stop and fight a battle for a while and real hard that Satan puts against us. But then once we get the battle done, hopefully we'll win the battle and we'll be able to continue to go forward. But we won't be going backwards because we're fighting to hold our what? Our ground. We don't want to lose the ground we have gained. Why do we keep the Passover? Let's go to Exodus 12, the very first Passover. This is when the Passover is instituted. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household is too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." This is on the 10th day. "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat." And the upper doorpost, I'm sorry, of the houses wherein they shall eat. "And they shall eat the flesh at that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. This head, his head with his legs and with the puritans thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Now, aren't you glad we don't have to eat it that way? Your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ready to go. If you look back, sometimes it's nice to look back what the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ has done for us. If you ever look back in the Old Testament about the different types of offerings, and sometimes we read over them, but we don't study them. All the different offerings you can make to God for forgiveness of sins and things, and all that you had to do. With Christ's sacrifice, you and I, we have to repent, just as they did when they did the sacrifices, but you and I have to what? Get on our knees and talk with God. And pray to God. And confess our sins to him. It can be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it may be, and it's over. And guess what? If we repent perfectly, that sin is gone. There again, it's no longer. God wipes it clean. Sometimes we as humans have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We are not to look back at what we have done or did do, because I'm sure all of us have something that we'd like to forget or wish we hadn't done. And then the wonderful, we have a God who, if we go to him about it later on, he's going, what are you talking about? He forgave it. He wiped it clean. It's like a piece of ice. It melted, it's gone. There's nothing there to remind you of it. That's the way we need to look at our sins when we repent. They are gone. And then we need to get back and doing God's will, and hopefully won't do that sin again. So Passover is commanded by God the Father. And it's for our good. As you notice, everything that God does is for our good. Passover so he can forgive us of the sins which we've committed. He doesn't have to repent. We do. So why do we have to keep the Passover? Let's turn to Romans 6:23. I'm sure you've read it many times. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a young man giving a sermon one time, and he's going on about the mote in your neighbor's eye and the beam that's in your eye. And he's saying, you know, all of you have problems with somebody. You've all done this. You've all got things you've done and people you don't like and da-da-da. And he's going on and on. And little old lady sitting down in the front row goes, he gets a little perturbed a little bit, and he says, no, I'm telling you, all of you have done something. Now I know you have, because we're human, and I know that you've done it, and you need to admit it and get that beam out of your own eye, and you know, don't worry about that mote in someone else's eye. Little old lady. He's really starting to get perturbed because she's right in the front row. And everybody's seen her shake her head. So finally he says, well, tell me, ma'am. He says, how can you tell me that you have no grudge, no anything against anybody else? She says, they're all dead. And you know, that's probably about the only way any of us are going to get out of it. And not having something that bothers us or we've had a problem with or whatever. If everybody we've known who's had that is dead. God commands us to keep the Passover. You know, even though we were baptized and washed clean, and we felt the sins leave us, and we knew we had a new life, he knew we would fall short because he knew human beings, and he knew the devil who was so deceitful and who hates each and every one of us who love God the Father and want to obey and trying to serve and obey God. So he had to pass over for you and me. So that we wouldn't fail. So that we could keep on as that brigade going forth, clearing the way for others to be in God's kingdom. Our calling truly is a miracle in our eyes. Because many of us say, why me? Who am I? I came from here. Or, man, da, 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 whatever it may be. But you see, God looked past that. He called you for a reason. He called you for a reason. You for a reason. And you for a reason. All we have to do now is fulfill it. And it is a full-time job. We can never let up. We have to be doers at all times. When we come to Passover, we take time each year to examine ourselves. I'm sure we examine ourselves now, and we're thinking about how to clean our houses and get the leavening out of our house and, you know, and out of our cars and whatever we're going to do. And that's really good because we need to do that. But the main leavening and stuff we have to get out is out of our heart and mind. That's what needs to be cleaned the most. That's the spiritual things that God tells us to check on. We need to clean the physical, don't get me wrong, because he tells us to. And God has a purpose for everything. And when we're doing that, it reminds us of, hey, maybe I need to check on this. Or when you're cleaning something up, you say, oh, yeah, I did miss that. Well, let me see, is there something I may have missed that maybe I need to take time and look into my, oh, yeah, I did do that. Oh, that was wrong. And then you can repent about it. No matter how small it is or how large it is, a sin is a sin. One sin can keep you out of God's kingdom. Because when you have one sin, you break all the laws. See, if you break one, you break all. And usually if you see a sin, you see there's more than one law that has been broken. I'll use David as an example. King David, who's a man after God's own heart. And that's saying quite a bit when God says, you're a man after my own heart. And that means he was a good man. But it just showed he was a human being also. And one sin led to another sin, led to another sin, and he didn't even see it. Think about this. He didn't even realize what he was doing. And that's what we do as people. We sin and then we sort of, well, justify it somehow. And then we justify the Lord. After a while, we're not even justified. It's just, well, it's okay. It's not okay. David had to have it pointed out. Basically, that's what Passover is to you and me. God's asking us to look at ourselves and get pointed out. Let him inspire us so that when we're trying to clean up ourselves, he will point it out and we will repent and come to Passover. Asking forgiveness of those sins, the ones we know about, and praying about those that we don't even realize that we've done, maybe. Because I'm sure we won't find them all. It's like that crumb you find a week later in your car that you missed, or a cracker you found in a suit you forgot you had. You know, and you think you've done what? A great job of getting everything out of your house and getting rid of all the leavening. And yet, somewhere during that week, sometimes you find something. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I've been there many times, sorry to say. In fact, one year I was so focused on not eating, as one of the first or second years in the church, and made sure that I couldn't eat. I was working in a factory, and I looked at their lunch menu, and I said, okay, I'm going to buy this, because there's no leavening in this and that, and I was determined. I went up to the lunchroom and got in line. Two grilled cheese sandwiches being on this thing here. I go, wow, man, that looks good. I forgot all about days on the bread right then, I want to tell you. It was gone. I forgot totally about it. And so I go up and I say, I want two grilled cheese sandwiches and something else. So I go back down, and this shows how bad you can look. I've done that many times, sorry to say. I'm sitting down by my foreman on his desk, and I took one bite, I go, ah! And I'm spitting this sandwich out in this bucket. And my foreman's sitting there looking at me like I'm an idiot. You know? And I looked at him, I said, Whitey, would you like to have a couple grilled cheese sandwiches? And he took them. But it is so easy. If we don't have our mind continually, it just takes a lapse of 1 minute, 30 seconds, whatever. And we've done it. So when we take the Passover and take the unleavened bread, and we hear the ministers up there, crack, 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 do we really understand how much Christ suffered for you and me? Do we realize that's his bones being broken? The lashes he took that he didn't deserve at all? I don't know if any of you have never seen Passion of Christ. If you hadn't, everybody, in my opinion, needs to see it. That's just my opinion. So, okay, my opinion. Not churches, Dave Hemsley's. I don't want to get in trouble. Because, yes, it's graphic. But I want to tell you what. It lets you know how much Christ suffered for you and me. Because it is gory. And it makes it real. More real. Instead of seeing the movie where a real twinkle of blood is going down the side of his face. You know. So nobody will be offended and nobody will get hurt. I'll never forget the scene in there. Those who've seen it. When he turns sideways to look. His eye, you couldn't even tell it. Blood everywhere. And you say, Christ did that for me. He's done it for each and every one of us. For the whole world. He suffered a brutal death which he did not deserve. Our sins, hey, we did them. We could deserve it. Christ didn't. But he took it for you and me. It's a humbling experience when we come to Passover. It's a very solemn time. It's humbling because we've looked at ourselves and we realize that as the man was praying, remember, and he said he didn't deserve to be before God, and the Pharisee was telling him how good he was, whose prayer was heard. Well, that's what we do when we come before God on Passover. We have humbled ourselves totally, admitting to our frailties, our weaknesses, our sins against Him, the Almighty. And we come in there asking our Father, as a little kid would come to his father or mother and say, Daddy, Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Well, I'm not going to forgive you, kid, I'll never forget what you've done. You will never be. Well, no, a father doesn't do that. What does a father do? Takes a kid, caresses it, says, yeah, that was wrong, Johnny. We want to make sure you don't do that again, okay? Daddy or mommy loves you, and we always will, and da-da-da, and you comfort the child. God is a father. He is our father. He wants us to come to him. He wants to hug us. He wants us to feel hugged and kept and loved because he does. What a blessing we have such a loving Father. And that He has given us Passover that we can be forgiven of the sins and go on continuing to be in His brigade as first fruits, turning the way to be in His kingdom. In the New Testament, there's many references to the Passover. And to what God has done for you and me. James 1, 22, 25 talks to us about being that doer. And we have to be a doer forever. It can't just be for a little while. That's what we must keep in mind. It's an ongoing job. It has got to be our life's work. Because our life really depends on it. we need to be sure and read. I'm not going to be able to read all these verses, but I want to give you a few things to read, which is about Christ's sacrifice and before his death. We make sure we, on our personal study, I'm sure you probably aren't many of these, but I just want to be a reminder. You know, things we need to read and be preparing for God's Passover. We need to read John 6:48, 12:44, 13:1-4, to verse 15, John 14:26, 1 John 3:1-5, Matthew 21 or 26, verse 21 to 30, Mark 22:19-20. Then there's five chapters we truly need to read in John, which is a lot of us going over in the Passover service, but we should be reading it and have it in our minds before we get there. Starting in the last half of chapter 13 of John, chapter 14, 15, 16, and chapter 17, Christ's prayer for his apostles. We need to keep that in our minds as we prepare for Passover. As each of us want to be a part of God's brigade, we want to be his first fruit. And he wants us to be his first fruits. That's why we're called. I'm not sure about the figure, but someone told me in Google, they checked to see how many people have been born since mankind began. And they had somewhere between, I think it was 85 billion to 120 billion. That's amazing. That's a big gap in it. But they're guessing and estimating. Now, out of that, if that is true, say it's 85 billion. How many have been called by God the Father? Do we have a job ahead of us as first fruits? Do we have a responsibility to God to keep on doing and keep on going? You know, there's a lot of people out there who can take our place if we quit. If we give up, hopefully none of us will ever do that. Amy's been around a while, seen the different breaks, different things that have happened. A lot of people we loved, cared for, have gone, passed away. Some you thought were pillars of the church. But somehow they got sidetracked if they were. See, God knows the heart. We can't fool God. God knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves, probably, by far. Hopefully each of us can't just pass over season. Look at ourselves. Thank God for the blessings of the things that we have worked on and overcome, seeing progress, and smiling about it because it's progress. But yet then we have to look at ourselves and see where we've fallen short, seeing what we need to work on. So as we go before God at Passover, we can be forgiven. And our slate will be clean. And may our books, our papers, get thinner and thinner each year because we'll be progressing every year to becoming more like Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what he wants from each of us. He wants us to become more converted, more dedicated, and becoming sons of his when Christ returns. That is the calling of the first fruits. That's why Passover is so important to you and me and to the whole world. Because God will have us, or if we're not doing it, someone else will be doing it. Let's be sure that as we go to Passover this year, that we realize we are in training and we're in God's brigade to clear the path, to help the way be easier for those after us to see, to understand, and grow in God's love. Because God loves each and every one of us. And the Passover, as are all the holy days, are for your good and mine. He lets us see His plan so we have what? We have hope. Then we have to have trust. Faith and love that God is going to give us this. We have to learn to love as God does. We need love and be doers locally for each other. We cannot sit back and say, well, I'm taking care of myself. God's not self. There's no selfies in God. We should have no selfies. It's all about self. The new generation is all about self. God is a God of what? Giving. Loving. Caring. Taking care of. Providing for. Blessing. Let's count our blessings. Let's count them all. Let's sit down and say, yes, yes, yes. Oh, that was a rough spot. But yes, I got through it. Yes, I have overcome. Yes, I'm still here. Yes, I know where God's kingdom is. I know who God is. I know who Christ is. He's my brother who gave His life that I can have life with Him and God the Father for eternity. Let's never forget, we are to be doers of God's work at all times. We are to be doers of God's will. And when we fall short, let's be sure that we get back up and go forward. Let's take care of the problem. Let God help us. Ask God for help. You see, when we take the Passover service, we have what? Foot washing. Foot washing Christ did to what? The apostles. You're having a king wash your feet. Pretty humbling, wouldn't you say? Pretty humbling. God's Son is washing your feet. That's what He did to those, and we're to follow the example. And when we do that, we may be washing someone's feet we don't know very well, or we need to know better. Because after you wash someone's feet, I feel as if I have a closer bond with that person. Because I'm glad I'm washing their feet. I'm glad that God has allowed me to be there doing that. And hopefully, I'm humbling myself in the right manner, and I hope that each of us are. That when we come out of there, we have grown just a little bit more in humility and love. Love for one another. God is love, and we have to be love. That's what He is, and that's what we have to be. So as we keep this Passover, I hope that each of us will count our blessings. Count our blessings of being here before God this year on April the 2nd, all those who are baptized. That evening, keeping God's Passover together as a family, as a loving family to our loving God.